All right, here we go. Let's pray. Father, it is in the name of Jesus that we give you praise and we give you glory in this place today. We thank you, God, for being God. We thank you, Lord God, for how the service has gone to this point. We thank you for the things that you are speaking to our hearts. We thank you, Father God, that in your goodness and your mercy, you have been patient and kind and long-suffering. God, you've equipped us with everything that we need to be the people that you've made us to be in this day, in this hour, in this generation. Help us, Father, to not turn away from you, but to turn to you with our whole hearts. Help us, God, to walk one step at a time until we be like Jesus toward you. Father, your word is so powerful. Your word is so full of your will, your desire, your plans and your purposes concerning us. Oh God, that we would be attentive to your word and know, God, the power in your word to change our lives, no matter what direction they've gone to this point, that your word is able to put us on the right track. Help us, God, to hear you. Hear what you're saying. Help us to be like the psalmist when he said, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Oh God, he hid the understanding of what you said. And in the understanding, he walked according to your will. God, that we would come to you with no preconceived notions this morning, but ready to hear what you say and be changed accordingly. Father, we thank you for the Holy Ghost who is our helper today. We do thank you. And you know we always say thank you for Jesus. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So, this morning, I want to begin in this way. About 5 years ago, right before pandemic, it was January 2020, God began to speak to my heart about Matthew chapter 24. He took me over there and I started reading Matthew 24. And God said, these are the days that you're living in. At that time, I didn't understand and had not seen all of the kinds of things that we're seeing now. But he told me these are the beginnings of sorrows. And he told us about pestilences and famines and wars and rumors of wars and men's hearts growing cold as far as God is concerned, and people turning away from God and people turning to their own ways. And in 2 Timothy chapter 3, it talks about all of the ways that we can just be rebellious and walk in our own way no matter what God has said. And then he said men's hearts would grow worse and worse. And I looked at it, the fact that he said worse and worse. So things are not going to get any better. But in the midst of all of that, Jesus said the gospel must be preached. He said the word concerning me being the Savior must be preached. He didn't even say it like a suggestion. He didn't make it optional. And so the church of Jesus Christ, we have one goal, we have one mission as we live in this world, and that's to carry the word of God concerning Jesus Christ being the Savior, being the only way to the Father. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. So that means all of these other religions fall to the wayside. It means that we're on track to walk with God as long as we follow after Jesus and his teachings. Jesus said to follow me means to forsake your way. It means to forsake your own life and what you think life should be about. Jesus said to follow me is to do what you see me do. Say what you hear me say. Everything that I'm doing, that's the way the Father is going to be pleased. And so we as the church of Jesus Christ, we don't have any options for doing things another way. He left us no room to wiggle and do things the way is that's comfortable to me. He's not concerned about my comfort today. He's most concerned about me being made in his likeness and his image. He's most concerned about us being changed into the people that he created us to be from the beginning. For those of us who have heard the gospel, we know this one thing, that when God started with man, he said, in my likeness and my image. I say that all the time to keep myself reminded and to keep you reminded that God never intended us to be any way except in his likeness and his image. In order to do that, we have to walk according to the word of God with hearts that's yielded to God. God is not talking about having a mouth full of the right things to say and then a heart that's far from him. As a matter of fact, Jesus say, you call me Lord. You say I'm the Lord. You say I'm the one who is in charge. You say that I rule. He say, yet your hearts are far from me. So that means my mouth can say all of the right things and then I go another way. God wants to correct that today. God wants to correct that in this house, in us, in his people, in the earth today. That's why T.C. Gotham said the things that he said. That's why Regina Gotham said the things that they said. Because God wants us to be a people that are full of life, but life according to his will. A life of peace, but peace according to his will. Joyful, full of joy, but according to his will. See, God made you to be a certain way. And when we're not that way, then we are not what we were created to be. Ephesians says that God wants to have an understanding. He wants us to know our hope and our calling and what he intended us to be. So Jesus said, even in this world where people are full of darkness and evil, tell the truth and live the truth. Preach the gospel is what he said. After he said those things to me in 2020, we had pandemic, and since then it's been downhill. And the government of this country downhill. But the church of Jesus Christ does not go downhill. We only get better, we only be more alive, and we're only more and more of what God called us to be. And so we don't take our cues from what's happening around us, because God is our source of life. God is our peace. Yes, we're in the world. Jesus said in John chapter 17, Father, I'm not praying for you to take them out of the world, but I'm praying for you to keep them in the world. Preserve them in the darkness. Cause them to prosper in the darkness. Cause them to be in good health in the darkness. If they take all your Medicare and Medicaid away, God can keep you well in this dark world. If they take every one of your extra help, all of the extra help you get, God can keep you. I saw him keep the children of Israel in the wilderness. They didn't have any stores. And they didn't have anybody to give them anything. But every day God fed them from heaven. Oh, we can expect some miracle signs and wonders in this day. Nobody will dictate what's going to happen to the church. Jesus said, I will build my church, and the very gates of hell will not, cannot prevail against them. Come against, but not prevail. Huh? Come after, but will not prevail. Dictate, but won't be able to say anything to cancel the will of God. Somebody need to hear God in here today. The church of Jesus Christ is going to be alive, thriving, alive and well. There's no way in the world we'll be diminished. But church, you got to know it. You can't be deceived. See, Eve was deceived and believed that God was holding something out on her. You know, God don't want you to eat that fruit because you're going to be like him. She was already made to be like him. And so you won't be deceived if you understand from the beginning who you are. Is anybody hearing what I'm saying? But Jesus said these are only the beginnings of sorrow. He didn't say this is it. He says the beginnings of sorrow. So things are going to get worse. If you think they're bad now and people running scared now, they're really going to be running scared. And Isaiah 60 says, and when they start running scared, They're going to run to the light of God. And he said, we're the light in the world. He made us the light. And if you're just as confused as the world is, then where are they going? If you are off track like they're off track, then where they're going? They're going to come to those who are walking in the light of Almighty God. Church, we've got to be the light. Amen. And that's going to take faith in God. We're going to have to believe God, period. Hebrews 11:1 says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. It's faith is the very basis, the very foundation. Faith in God is the very foundation, the very basis of our lifestyle, because we believe that the Lord is God. Because we believe that the Lord's word is the word and it will not be altered. Because we believe that he is sovereign and that he's ruling all. We will prosper in this world. We will be okay in this world. I'm not saying you're not going to be troubled, but the trouble won't overtake you. The trouble won't overwhelm you. The trouble won't cancel the plan of God for your life. What God wills for you will take place. What God wants for you, but you've got to be ready to do it God's way. Can you say God's way? God's will, God's way. Say it, God's will. God's way. God's will. God's way. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That foundation is built in us when we know what God's word says. Half of us won't even pick up our Bible. 90%, 99% of us won't pick up our Bibles, read and study and see what God says. We wait until somebody will tell us something, but we won't study for ourselves. God said, you study, you read, you have the same Holy Ghost the preacher has. You've got the same Holy Ghost and you can understand the word the same way I can, but you've got to go and say, God, here I am. Teach me. You've got to want to know. Am I making sense in here today? Faith comes, it grows, it develops in our hearts by the power of God's living word. The Bible says in Romans 1:17 and Galatians 3:11 and Hebrews 10:38, the just shall live by faith. We will move and live. We will move and have our being by faith. We will be who we are by the faith that we have in God. We will reflect his power. We will reflect his glory. We will reflect his very character, his integrity, all of that by the faith that we have in God. We're to be reflections of God. We're to be the image of God. And when we live life any other way, we're not testifying to God's glory. That's why so many times the world looks at us and say, I don't want that. You're as miserable as I am. Some of us are so long-faced. Sometimes when some of y'all come through them doors, it's like, Jesus, they don't even look like they want to be here today. I'm telling the truth. You come in, your face is so long, no joy on your face. And to stand up here and watch some of you, it's like, Jesus, close my eyes. Because I can't look at the saints. The people who are supposed to have joy in their heart. The people who are supposed to have peace in their heart. We move, we live, and we have our being in him. And when we do, that's a joyous place to be. That's a peaceful place to be. Darkness all around, chaos all around. But you've got peace in your heart. You believe God. You're trusting God. We walk, we live, and we move. By faith, we walk by sight. We walk by faith and not by sight. We don't go by what we see. Because if we're going by what we see, it's kind of dreary. If we're going by what we see, if we're going by what we feel, it's a downer. God says, when I speak a thing, you may not see it when I say it, but you can believe what I said. It has been said that faith is blind, But I heard somebody say, and I really liked it. They said, no, faith sees more than what's in front of you. He said, genuine faith hears the word of God. I wrote it just like he said it. Genuine faith hears the word of God, looks past the trouble, does not deny that the trouble is there, does not deny that there is a circumstance, but will look past the trouble and see the invisible God. Hallelujah. He sees the trouble for what it is. Faith knows this is a bad situation. Faith knows this is bigger than me, but not bigger than God. Faith knows that if God said it, my goodness, I can start looking for it. So why don't I just cut a jig right now? Why don't I just dance right now? Because this thing is going to happen. When it's looking its worst, when it's feeling the worst, when I can't see any way out, God said it, so it's going to happen. He didn't tell you about the storm that was coming. He told you how you were going to overcome the storm. You're going to believe him. You're going to trust him all the way. That's why we can't compromise, church. We can't compromise. So if there's rebellion in it today, deny that thing, defy that thing, curse that thing, and say, God, your will, your way. Your will, your way. Because we know nothing. Hallelujah. And my way takes me where Eve's way took her. Death. Come on, she died. He died. Me doing it my way will kill me. Doing it God's way, it'll hurt and feel like I'm dying. But I'm not going to die. I remember years ago, somebody said to me, Sister Wells, that thing that you're going through, it's going to save a lot of people. Well, right now I feel like I'm dying. But feel like you dying and dying are two different things. Feel like you can't handle it and not being able to handle it are two different things. We can do anything God tells us to do. I told them in the ministers meeting this morning, if God says, love one another even as I have loved you, then guess what? You're capable of doing it. Your flesh may not want to. But thank God the Holy Ghost lives in you and will empower you to, right in the face of your enemy, love that enemy. Make you want to do good toward that person. And your flesh is screaming all the way. But who cares about it screaming? It's dead. Romans chapter 6 said, I owe my flesh nothing. I don't owe it anything. I don't owe it an apology. I'm sorry, flesh. But I got to love Sister Barbara. My flesh has no apology coming. I owe it nothing. And so we live how? By every word that God speaks from his mouth. If God said it, we can do it. If God spoke it, we can live that way. And so God has said to the church, you've been blessed with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. God says to the church, you've been sealed by the Holy Ghost as a down payment on what's yet to come. Child, we not even seen yet. We have not seen where God is taking us. We have not seen the goodness and the glory that we can experience. We have not experienced what it feels like to never be troubled. We have never experienced what it's like never to have to sorrow or weep. We've not understood that's what's in our future. It's in our future to never sorrow again. It's in our future to never worry about how to pay the bills again. It's in our future never to have to worry about how to make the marriage work. It's in our future never to have to worry about these children being saved. It's in our future to never have to worry about being laid off from the job. It's in our future never to have to worry about somebody putting us down and breaking our hearts. It's in our future to never suffer again. It's in our future. We're living for the future in this moment. Right now. We're living for where we're going. This is not all there is. If it is, then we're the most pitiful people on the earth. This is not all there is. Can you hear God say, I have more for you. Come on and go. Come on, let's do it God's way, church. I don't know about you, but I don't want to get to the end and say, but Jesus, you know, it's too late. Because he will say, I never knew you. But Jesus, I preached the gospel. I never knew you. I don't ever want to hear those words from him. I want to hear him say, well done, my good and faithful servant. I want to hear him say, girl, you did it like I told you to do it. Come on in here. Hey, Roba. I want to hear him say, you're mine. And come and live with me forever. That's what I want to hear him say. I don't want to hear him say, depart from me, I never knew you. Laying hands on the sick, casting out devils and still miss heaven. I don't want to hear that. I don't want to be cast into the lake of fire with devil and hell. Hell and devil going into the lake of fire. I don't want to go. No half step in church. We got to go all the way with him. We got to go all the way with him. And so, you know, while I was thinking about all of the promises that God have made us in Jesus Christ, all of the ways that God has said to us that we have life and we have that more abundantly. God said, I came for you to live big. I came for you to have a full, complete life. I came so that you'll fall short in no area. That's mighty good to me. That's mighty good to me. And then I fall short. Why? Because I don't accept it his way. God knows best. He knows what needs to be fixed in my heart. You know what I'm saying? I told him this morning in the minister's meeting. I said, you know, sometimes we can think we are all right. And we'll be all wrong. We can think we've overcome in an area. And then something will come up to challenge that, and you find out, I still have not grown in that area. Thank God for his patience. Thank God for his goodness. Thank God for his gracious goodness. Thank God he's merciful. Like he said through the prophet, he said, I sent you a word. He said, I sent you a word. And when I sent that word, he said, you didn't heed it. And then I sent the word again and you still didn't heed it. And I sent it yet another time and you did not heed the word. He said, so then I let you go and I let you do it your way. And as you did it your way, everything went wrong. But then he said, I didn't leave you there. He said, when it all went wrong and your wrong got exposed, he said, I waited to be gracious to you. God said, I step back and I let you mess up. I step back and I let you think you know better than me. I step back and I let you go with your little wishy-washy ways. I step back and I let you and your messy self do your messy mess. He said, and then when your messy mess got the best of you, he said, then I waited to be gracious to you. That's a mighty good God to me. He said, I told you, you didn't do it. I told you, you didn't do it. I told you, you didn't do it. He said, but I didn't even leave you there. For his name's sake, God is going to heal in here. For his name's sake, he's going to deliver in here. For his name's sake, he going to change you in your rebellious ways. For his name's sake, it will not be said that God couldn't do it in you. It will not be said that God couldn't alter your behavior. God said, for my name's sake, I'm going to do this thing. I was reading in Numbers 13 when Moses sent the spies out to spy out the land. God said, I have given you a land that flows with milk and honey. And I'm going to take you to that land that flows with milk and honey. And so they're out of Egypt. God has drowned Pharaoh and his army in the Red Sea. It's time for the journey. It's time for them to experience abundant life. They've been slaves to this point. They've had to do what the old master said to this point. And now they're free to honor God. They're free to worship God. And so God's getting them ready to take them into the promised land. And so he says to Moses in Numbers chapter 13, he says, send them. Let me get over to Numbers chapter 13. And the Lord spake unto Moses, verse 1, in the wilderness of Sinai, in the tabernacle of the congregation, on the first day of the second month, in the second year after they were come out of the land of Egypt, saying, take ye the sum of all the congregation of the children of Israel, after their families, by the house of their fathers, with the number of their names, every male by their poles, from 20 years old and upward, all that are able to go forth to war in Israel, thou and Aaron shall number them by their armies. And with, I'm reading the wrong thing. I'm thinking, this ain't reading like I read it this morning. I said Numbers 13, right? Okay. Y'all sitting there and nobody told me I was reading wrong. And the Lord spake unto Moses saying, send thou men that they may search the land of Canaan, which I give unto the children of Israel. Notice, I give it to them. Of every tribe of their fathers shall ye send a man, every one a ruler among them. And Moses, by the commandment of the Lord, sent them from the wilderness of Paran. All those men were heads of the children of Israel. And these were the names of the tribe of Reuben. And so, the tribe of Simeon, because I can't say their children's names. The tribe of Judah, I can say Caleb. Of the tribe of Issachar, the son of Joseph. And of the tribe of Ephraim, Oshea, which is Joshua. Of the tribe of Benjamin, of the tribe of Zebulun, of the tribe of Joseph, and of the tribe of Manasseh. Of the tribe of Dan, of the tribe of Aser, of the tribe of Naphtali, of the tribe of Gad. These are the names of the men which Moses sent to spy out the land. And Moses called Oshea, the son. I keep changing this thing. That's why I should use my Bible only. He said, these are the names of the men which Moses sent to spy out the land. And Moses called Oshea, the son of Nun, Joshua. And Moses sent these men out to spy out the land of Canaan. What I want you to notice is God told them to go and spy out the land. Go see what's in the land. Moses sent the men to spy out the land. When they got there, the land was like what God said it would be. It was what God said it would be. When they came back, they reported what they saw, but in their eyes, they thought they couldn't handle it. Why? 10 of them. 2 said, we're well able to take it. 10 of them said, we can't. Why? Because God is going to forsake you? Why? Because you don't see it the way God sees it. It does not mean that God's not going to do what he says because these people are bigger than you. It doesn't mean that you can't do what God said you can do because your test or your trial is more than what you expected it to be. God has given you a word. He gave them a word. The land was going to be theirs. Then he sent them out to spy out the land. They came back talking about how big the giants were. They said, it's good fruit there, but you ought to see the people. That's what you got. You got to see the people. And they sent word throughout the whole of Israel and told everybody, they're really big people and we can't handle them. They're really big people and we can't handle them. And the people believed the 10 spies who didn't believe God. If God said, and you believe that he's God. If God said, and your heart believes God and not what you see. If God said, and you know that God cannot lie and God cannot fail. If you believe God, then why are you looking at the size of the problem? Why are you assessing the land the way that you are? God said, explore the land. Smoke the land out. And I'm going to send you in there. And it's yours to take. Why are you considering what the size of the problem is? Too often, God tells us, here's what I want you to do. And then you've got all of your reasons why you can't do it. All of your reasons why it's too much for me. All of your reasons why this is not something I feel like I can handle. If God said, I won't ever leave you, I won't ever forsake you. If God said, I give it to you, then it's yours. Faith believes God. The heart in you believes God. Out of your heart flows the issues of life. If you believe God, and see, these people have seen miracle after miracle after miracle. And now they're getting ready to wander in the wilderness for 40 years because they won't believe God. And then when they do, then Joshua has to take everybody above 20, below 20, and start over. I don't know about you, but I don't feel like starting over. I don't feel like starting over. I believe that we can go with God now. I believe we can go with God now. For the last few months, we've cut back on everything. But now it's time to get up. And so here's the thing. You need to make up your mind whether you're going with God or you're going to go with your own way. Because it's time for us to go back to doing all that we're supposed to do as a church. And in doing so, you've got to realize that if God says we can do it, if God says that there's nothing that can defeat us as the church, then we believe that we can do this. Everybody in here ought to be witnessing to somebody. Everybody in here ought to be laying hands on somebody, praying with somebody. Everybody in here ought to be bringing people to Jesus Christ. Everybody in here ought to be bringing somebody to Jesus Christ. Every one of us. But most of us are still babies and needing somebody to minister to us on the smallest level rather than being those who are ministering life to those who are in darkness. As a matter of fact, some of us are still playing in the darkness. I'm telling the truth. Some of us are still playing in the darkness. God help us. Come up out of there. Come up out of there and come on in the kingdom and be real in the kingdom. I'm not going to believe your mouth if you're doing everything you big enough to do. My husband said that to me years ago. He said, go to church for what? Because you need to be saved. He said, it ain't working for you. And it wasn't. I was coming home doing everything he was doing. Cussing, fighting, breaking stuff. I was doing everything he was doing. And then in the choir stand at church, shouting all over the place. He said, it's not working for you. It's not going to work for me. If the world doesn't see it working for you, they're not listening to your mouth. They're looking at your life. Two people said we can do it. 10 said we couldn't. Don't follow the 10. Let's go with the 2. Some of us like to be in the crowd, in the majority. The majority does not rule. That's a lie from the world. Oh, they can start a riot, but when everything quiets down, it's still a lie. So the majority does not rule. All we need is Jesus. And see, Jesus made it real simple. All I need is 2 or 3. He said, and I'll be in their presence. That's all I need is 2 or 3, and I'll be in their presence. So where are you today? Where are you today? Last week, God said, die to live. And then he said, come to the altar. I heard just a handful of people came to the altar. The whole church should have been up here. Church, we don't want to be like them. Have a word from God that says this is ours. And then we turn around and say, but the trouble is too much trouble. I don't like the way it makes me feel. You're not going to like the way it makes you feel, because your flesh is the enemy of your soul. Your flesh is the enemy of God. So you're not going to like the way it feels. But we don't care about our feelings today. Paul says, I don't think about myself. I think about what God has told me I need to do. I have something to do. He said, I'm not thinking about myself. None of these things move me, because my life is not dear to me. We're still counting our lives dear to ourselves. And that's why when you see how big the problem is, you don't want to deal. You sidestep it. Sidestepping just prolongs the deliverance if you really belong to God. Now, if you don't belong to him, then sidestep. But if you belong to him, sidestepping is only going to prolong the time it takes for God to bring you to the fullness of the person that you need to be. The land is theirs. Don't care the size of the people. We're grasshoppers in our sight, but how are you in God's sight? They said, we're just grasshoppers in our sight. Nobody's counting on how it looks to you. Because if we count on how it looks to us, we all in trouble. It's not how it looks to me, it's how it looks to God. It's how God has called it to be. And then he said, and we're grasshoppers and in their sight. He don't know what they look like in their sight, because they didn't see him. They didn't even see him. How you know how we look in their sight? You didn't even see him. They didn't see you. You saw them. Church, y'all mighty quiet. But it's time to be sanctified. It's time to be holy rollers. It's time for us to stop talking Jesus and living something else. We good at what we say. Got it all down pat. Shout at the right time, clap at the right time, and still rebellious. It's his will, his way, and no other way. Father, I just thank you right now in the name of Jesus. Oh God. Oh God, I thank you, Lord God, that we're all hearing the same word. We're all hearing the same word, but we all won't heed it the same way. I pray, God, that we will know that the promises of God are to all of us, and that we will act on what you speak. No less than what you've said, God, is what you're wanting from us. Help us, Lord God, to live by every word that you have spoken. Help us, God, to be the people that you've called us to be. Help us, God, with self-righteousness, because it's in the house. Help us with self-righteousness, Lord God. Help us, Lord God, not to look at others and look down on others when not one of us has space to do anything like that. Every one of us, Lord God, have been at your mercy. And it's been because of your goodness and your grace that we're able to sit in this place today and call you Father. For those who have not accepted you, Father, we pray for them today. In the name of Jesus. Oh God, in the name of Jesus. Help us, Lord God, to carry out this mission, to be the people that you've called us to be. Help us, God, to be the church that you've called us to be. Father, and as we reconsider, Lord God, going back full force and doing all we're supposed to do as a church, I pray, Lord God, that everyone will step up who needs to step up. And if they feel like they can't, Father, that they will know that too. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus that you help us. Help us, Lord God, to make the right choice. Father, you've set before us life and death, and then you said choose life. I pray, God, that we will choose life in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Father, we're on the brink of, and we're right at a point, God, where revival is taking place, Lord God, around the globe. God, help this house not to be left out. Help us, God, not to be left out of what you're doing. I pray these things in Jesus' name, and we all say what? Amen. Amen together.